Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. If you are willing and able, I realize you may be driving or otherwise away from your Bible, but if not, do turn to Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 17th verse. Let me get this back on our minds on a busy Monday. Then to Adam God said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Genesis 3:17. Last week we dealt with the first part of verse 17, seeking understanding of these words. Then to Adam God said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it.'" On Friday, we talked about the nature of the punishment that follows these words, and that is what we come to today. Let's focus now on the second part of the verse. "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." Believe it or not, I have several things I want to share with you, and you might find it helpful to jot down a few notes. Taking notes helps many of us to learn. That is the way that I am wired. And the first couple of thoughts I have are ones I also pointed out back when we discussed the punishment God gave to the serpent, really Satan, and God gave to the woman, Eve. Notice first that here God cursed the ground. God did not curse the man. We saw this with Eve. God did not curse Eve. He punished, but he did not curse. Adam and Eve will be offered redemption from their sin, but Satan will not. As Genesis 3:14 says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you.'" There is the curse. And here in verse 17, the ground is cursed, but man and woman are not cursed. Someone might ask, "But don't we live under the curse of sin?" And I answer, yes, we do. But Jesus Christ offers us redemption from our sin. On his cross, he took on himself the curse of sin. Listen to Galatians 3:13. This is Galatians 3:13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" And remember that in verse 15 of Genesis 3, Jesus, the one who will be cursed for our sins, in Genesis 3, Jesus is already promised. So that in this sense, sin is a curse. But God, leaving wide open the possibility of man and woman being redeemed, he did not specifically curse them as people. Second, notice how treacherous was the lie that the serpent, Satan, told Eve, and she passed along to her husband Adam. In Genesis 3:5, the serpent said, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." No, Satan is such a liar. What Adam experiences at verse 17 is nothing like he was promised in verse 5. Adam is not like God. Eve is not like God. Instead, because they disobeyed God, now Adam and Eve live under divine punishment. They're not like God. At this stage, they are more like Satan. And as we have already learned, Satan is a deceiver and a liar. He is lying to you right there today. What is the lie that Satan is whispering to you? Be conscious that he speaks. It may be a direct assault on you. His deceit may be filtered through what you listen to, what you watch, who you follow on social media. Maybe he is using the voice of someone in your family or group of close friends. Remember what the Bible says, resist him, Lean on God. Depend on the Holy Spirit living within you. God is greater than the devil. Do not believe his lies. As these first people should not have believed him, neither shall we. Having highlighted these, let's move on and talk about the cursing of the ground. This is a devastating punishment. The Bible supports this elsewhere in texts like Romans 8:19 to 22, which was recently discussed here on God Is. You can read what Paul says about how all of creation groans because of what God did on account of Adam's sin. Romans 8:19 through 22. Right now, consider Psalm chapter 68 and verse 6. Psalm 68:6 says in part, "The rebellious dwell in a parched land." The rebellious dwell in a parched land. This is true. Commentator Matthew Henry says, "Man has the wilderness for his habitation and the barren land his dwelling." God told Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you." The implications run deep and wide. And yet someone might respond, "This is hardly fair to the ground. The ground did no wrong. It was man's fault. What is God doing?" John Calvin actually addresses this line of thinking in his commentary on Genesis and reminds us that while it was not the fault of the ground, yet the ground feeds man, so the ground must be cursed. What grows up out of the ground is the food man eats. And remember, at this time, Adam and Eve were veggie and fruit eaters, consuming from the plant and tree life. Prior to sin, this was easy. When hungry, they simply looked over the rich panoply of God's supply and they ate. But now, this is going to be hard. Eating will not be anywhere near as simple as it used to be, and this will remind Adam that he has sinned. It is not that man will starve. It is very important that you catch this detail. In the last part of this verse, God says, "In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." I will say more about this in a minute, picking up on the word toil. But you heard the Lord say, "You will eat." Leupold says this is a word of grace and of assurance. We find again the mercy of God, even in the midst of punishment. You will eat. Yes, but it will take hard work in order to eat. Not far from where we live near Boston, we have a large farm stand, open year-round, that sells the freshest fruits and vegetables. They sell a lot of other product as well, but we like to go there to buy what's grown right there on their property. You have heard of the expression farm to table, and that applies here. Anyway, recently they offered customers a tour of their gardens and farmland, and my wife and I signed up and joined about a dozen or so other folks for a summertime walk through the property so we could see how they produce such fresh produce. One of the owners led us on the tour. This was fascinating. We learned all sorts of things. By the time we were about halfway through the tour, I leaned over to my wife and said, "No wonder everything in the store looks so fresh and nutritious." This was all the product of really hard work. The displayed fruits and veggies are just lying there all nice and pretty, waiting to be purchased and taken home. But the amount of hard work, of sweat and labor, that goes into getting, say, the lettuce or the raspberries upstairs to the display is great. We eat it, but someone worked hard to produce it. On our tour, we looked out across the farm and saw workers bent over in the hot sun, buckets at the feet, hands dug down deep into the soil, working away. And they are out there multiple hours per day. This is back-breaking work. The ground is still producing food, but getting our sustenance out of the ground is what does not come easy. Do not be fooled by simply driving up to the supermarket and whisking down the aisles, grabbing what you want. A lot of effort goes into getting it to you, and this dates all the way back to the curse God put on the ground. Which brings us to this word toil in Genesis 3:17. Interestingly, in Hebrew, this is a very similar, closely associated word for pain in Genesis 3:16, when God says to Eve, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children." So to the woman, God gives pain, and to the man, God gives pain. The woman will toil at childbirth, and the man will toil at working the ground for food. Sin bears pain. Calvin translates this word trouble, fatigue, and says that while originally labor was a sweet delight, after this punishment, it is as if men are condemned to the mines. The mine, being lowered down deep into the earth in the darkness, the dirt, and the toil. This is hard indeed. This reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes, that Old Testament writing of Solomon that is full of such wisdom, acknowledging the practical realities of life. Ecclesiastes 1:8 says, "All things are wearisome. All things are wearisome. Indeed, in toil we eat of the ground all the days of our lives." H.C. Leupold summarizes this verse best when he writes, quote, "It is no longer fitting that an imperfect man dwell in the midst of a perfect dwelling place," unquote. Work is toil, isn't it? In many ways, today's message is appropriate for a Monday. The weekend now seems like a long time ago as you go back to work and toil away at whatever it is pays the bills. Maybe you are not a farmer. Actually, my guess is most of you are not. But how many of you could not wait for the alarm clock to ring so that you could go back to the office or to whatever it is your work takes you? Usually, in the majority, people roll their eyes at a Monday. Well, this aspect of the hardness of work reminds us of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. And when you join us again tomorrow, we'll talk more about this right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.